levels. I can get you some of these as well, I've got to split off.
What does that do?
Just so I can hear the levels.
Oh, okay. So just talk like you're going to talk normally.
Is that good volume?
That's good volume. That's very good volume. So you just want to keep it up to your mouth.
Keep it up to my mouth like this?
Yeah, some people do this. Kind of. So you just got to make sure you keep it up to your mouth. I'm just going to turn mine down a bit because I'm a bit louder and cooler than you.
Yep. Makes sense.
All right.
Sit back, relax.
Sit back, relax, strap in. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the inaugural episode of Ask a Builder, Brad the Builder.
Morning, Jerry.
Morning, or whatever. We haven't quite decided on the title yet, but I'm sure we'll get there. This is a podcast just for anyone who's thinking of building, has built, wants to know more about sort of the process. So I guess to kick us off, you're the owner, CEO, CFO of your own building company, All Innovative Building.
Bit of everything.
Bit of everything. How long have you been in building for?
Been building for 20 years now. So started in 2004 as an apprentice. Worked my way up doing an apprenticeship for 4 years. After that, went out and started doing my own thing, working on my – we might cut that out.
Why? It's all right. That's good. Keep going.
Because you can cut it out anyway.
Yeah. Where was I? So you were working on your own. So you did your apprenticeship. That was 4 years.
Apprenticeship
before. As a carpenter?
As a carpenter, yes. I did my apprenticeship for 4 years as a carpenter. I actually worked in a window company doing more joinery type work. So.
And how's that different from actual building, would you say?
It's very specific. It's more detail oriented. So, finer hand skills, I would say. So it was a good learning curve on, how to.
Yeah, microphones. You got to use them. Try to relax.
Yeah, very different. Where was I?
That's all right. I can talk more if you want as well, if you need me to. I'll just ask you a question. So windows, most houses have them. No, so it's like, specific, windows are very specific trade.
Windows are very specific.
But it's not really building a house, is it?
It's not. It's not. So it's very detailed. So there is, finer details. It's a good place to start.
So how would a day look? Would someone send you, I know a lot of that's done, so for people that don't know, a lot of window stuff now is done factory sort of machines.
It is, done in a factory.
So do you work from dimensions? People would say I wanted a window.
Yes.
And I've got X, I'm measuring up an opening. I would send it to you and you would build it from scratch?
Yes, we'd build it from scratch. So,
and what materials would that be? Wood, timber?
Yeah, timber and aluminium generally. Generally timber and aluminium. That's probably good for another podcast episode because there's lots of different materials that can be used. We do use PVC as well, double glazed windows for
keep the heat out.
Good thermal insulation and also acoustics.
And double glazed windows, is that for noise or is that for sun or both?
A bit of everything. So
I used to live by a main road and it didn't have double glazed windows and it used to drive me mental. Yeah. It's just so loud.
Yeah. And especially under the flight path, there were a lot of places in Sydney need double glazing to stop the plane noise coming through.
Yeah. Yeah, I was under the flight path without it and it was a nightmare. Mm. You just hear it all the time.
So yeah, that's how I started. So it's really
so you
detailed.
Moved from like a real specific part of building,
yes,
into building
essentially. So I actually went overseas for a year, did a bit of travel, lived in London, and worked for a builder and did more carpentry work. Realized I enjoyed that a lot more.
Yeah,
the building side. So from there, did my builder's license. Certificate 4, got a builder's license and then started All Innovative Building.
Yep, which is your own company.
My own company, founded in 2014. So now 2024, building for 10 years.
Out on your own.
Out of my own,
it's very impressive.
10 years, yeah. So a long time. So been in the industry long enough.
Yeah. Also, I think, is it something like 50% of businesses fail in their first here or whatever?
Yeah, so, I think it's more than that. I think there's 50%, actually it's 50% in the first year and something like 70% after the 7-year itch.
So to be building for 10 years
is a good effort.
Yeah. It's not nothing.
Yeah, exactly right. And still enjoying it just as much as when I started.
Still hungry.
Yeah. I think that's the best thing about all innovative building is I'm young enough that, well, I've got enough experience, but also hungry enough and innovative to make change.
Yeah.
So at all innovative building, we don't...
Your eyes open to some of these old dinosaurs out there building.
Exactly right. Back in my day, not how we used to build it. Yeah, that's probably a good thing.
I used to work for one of those that was, it was all just everything... do as quick as possible at breakneck speed, and you would just be coming in every morning looking at mistakes from yesterday.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, oh, we'll fix it or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
it's too late.
It is a classic like Australian old school builder. Not that all of them are. Some of them are really sick, but there's definitely a few out there that are like,
well, we
got to go as quick as possible and it's all right and you can hide anything later. And it's, I don't know, that kind of... never really stuck with me. I don't really like that kind of build. I should say as well, I've been in construction myself for probably as long, on and off. I did like civil formwork.
One of us has gone somewhere with it.
Mate, I'm hosting a podcast.
Exactly right.
I'd say that somewhere.
Yeah, getting there. Yeah, exactly right. You're doing better.
Another mountain to climb. So I worked in a civil construction like on and off for 10 years, and I've been doing houses for about 7 now. So I did my apprenticeship as well a bit later in life, as my qualifications did not cross over. I thought it'd be quite easy, but it was quite the opposite.
Yeah.
It's like house carpentry is much, much more difficult, I would say, than civil formwork.
Yeah.
Because it's like it's
more
just
detailed.
Well, it's more detailed and also, I don't know, you just got to think more. Whereas when you're working on those big sites, a lot of it's like engineers and what do you call them? Yeah, I'd say engineers. Yeah, like everything's working to millimeter pins that are set out for you. So it's like, it's pretty hard to not like detail plans and then his pins exactly where it has to go. And if you don't do it right, then you just don't do it right.
I think the other challenge in residential building is there's a lot of emotion involved with homeowners.
Well, it's people's homes.
It's people's homes. Yeah. They go there every day. And
I've built bridges that will definitely fall down. I'm joking.
That was in a previous life. A lot more emotion involved. So it is very different, residential compared to commercial. But that's part of this podcast. That's why I wanted to get this out there so we can answer some questions from clients of how to build and what to look for.
Because it's a lot of alchemy, but it's also like it's a lot of unknown.
Exactly,
like especially
right.
Which is like brings me to kind of the first topic I was hoping we could cover today. With a professional build estimate, what would you say, what are the main things that go into it when you're looking at someone comes to you and they're like, I want to do, they've got a DA, so they've been approved by council for a build.
Yep.
Maybe they've met with an architect yet.
Yep.
That would normally be when you step in after an architect.
Generally, yes. We would much rather be involved from the start.
Yeah. Before a DA.
Before the DA, yeah. We like to get involved. We actually have a design and construct service because we like to get involved from the start. There's been an issue with clients dealing with architects, give them a budget, and they don't stick to the budget, which is very hard for an architect because they don't know the budget. They're not the builders. They don't actually know how to do it.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Yeah, so we would rather get involved at the start. We have a process that we stick to. Now, we charge for the service. There are people out there still doing free quotes or free estimates, but like anything, if you're getting anything for free, is it any good?
Yeah.
So, I
think it's also like, what do they say? If it's free, then you're the product or whatever. So they're like trying to find out, all right, well, now we know this person's interested in
buildings. Well, haven't heard that one, but
That's what they say with all the, all those apps on your phone and stuff. It's like if it's free, it's because they're stealing all your data.
Oh, there you go. Exactly right.
So it's probably
that's
that.
A good point.
If it's a free estimate, it's like, well, now I'm using this. I know that you want to build and I'm going to pass that down the line or.
Yeah. So
nothing's for free.
Nothing's for free. You've got to invest. The best products always you pay for.
Yeah.
We charge a small fee, and the reason we do that is because we want to put a lot of effort into it. And if we're getting paid for the service, then we're going to do that. We're going to do it properly. So we like to get involved from the start.
Great.
And set a budget. We have a process. We're a very systemized business. We have processes, and we want to. We don't want to get to the end of the design, and then you realize you can't afford to build the product.
Of course, yep. So if I come to you, I'm off the street. I'm a random person. I say I want to do this. You say okay. You take it on. You work with an architect.
Yes.
To a budget.
Yes.
You come back. Now, where does what goes into an estimate now? If I'm sitting at home waiting to be told, what would you say the main things that would go into the actual estimate for the build?
Into an estimate. So first of all, yeah, we need to start from the start, and it's getting all the costs for the project.
So what does that involve? That would be like materials,
all
obviously.
All materials, yep. Material.
So labor.
Labor as well.
Yep.
All of that goes into it. Supervision. Now, yep. It's you can't not have the supervision or the project management.
Yep.
That is a must.
Trades as well?
Trades.
Yep.
Yep, trades, all other subcontractors. What else goes into an estimate, into a build estimate?
So would you go to actual trades and ask for prices on things normally?
Yes. Yes, we get trades to quote the jobs. We also do some pricing ourselves.
Yep.
On known square meter rates. And the reason for that is to speed up the process. A lot of the time it is a lot of work that goes into an estimate. We can put 40 to 80 hours into an estimate.
Wow.
That's just our time.
It's a week.
It's a week, two yeah. weeks, week minimum.
Yeah.
So that's part of the reason that we charge for it. We don't charge a lot for it.
Yeah.
But we need something for it because, first of all, it gets rid of the tire kickers.
Yeah.
Where was I going with the
trades?
Oh, a lot of the time, so there are construction cost guides that are based worldwide, Australia, New South Wales, Sydney.
And could I look that up if I was interested?
You can look that up. Yeah, you can look that up. It's very detailed. So yeah. it is something you can have a look at so you can get some square meter rates.
Is there any of those for like mechanics? Because I feel like that every time I go in there, I'm getting fucked.
that's a good question. Actually, we need to look into that.
Someone should sort that out.
Exactly right.
I don't know if they mechanics. Just see me and they're like,
what's worse? Do they hate mechanics more or builders?
I think people hate mechanics
yeah,
more.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah.
But then I suppose if, you know, you got a bad builder, you'd be like,
yeah. Well, that's the thing. You can end up with a bad builder. So you need to do your due diligence.
So how would you avoid that? So say I'm looking to build.
Yep.
Let's just say I have a DA.
Yes.
And I've met an architect.
Yep. You got your plans finished.
I've got my plans finished.
You got it through council.
I'm looking for a builder. What should I be wary of? And then how should I select a builder if I was like looking for one?
First of all, I think like anyone does, you go to Google.
Yeah.
You'll have a look at Google reviews. See if you can find any bad ones to start with. That's always the first point of call. Then you look for the good ones. But always testimonials, case studies. Do your research. A lot of the time you're spending anywhere from 6 months.
I mean, it's one of the biggest investments anyone will probably make in their life.
Yeah, it's your house. It's your home that you live in. They're going to be there early in the mornings waking you up. They're going to be there late working. You need to find the right person. There's we actually have a 20-point checklist on our website under resources that you can have a look at as well. But you need to find the right builder. You're spending anywhere from 6 months to two, three. We just finished a job. It took us 4 years.
Yeah, wow.
And it was hard for the owners. It was really hard for them because we were there every day. And it becomes what's the word?
A bit of a marathon, it sounds like.
Oh, it's a marathon.
I ask you, would you recommend people move out of the home while it's being built, or should they stay if you had the means to do so?
Definitely
move out.
Definitely move out. If you can move out, do. There's a few things that it makes it more productive for the builders. Our guys, the guys that we have working for us, the carpenters we have working for us full time, are so nice that they obviously every morning are going to go and say hello, say goodbye in the afternoon. That all takes time.
Yeah, yeah.
if we can get rid of that, there's a cost saver.
It's I suppose it's also I just finished a house in Kingsford 3 months ago, and they were in about halfway through the project. They moved in.
Yep.
Just, I suppose you're not really meant to, but
they moved in.
Yeah,
halfway through.
Before there was an occupation certificate, but it was owner builder, so it was a big, little bit cowboy.
Yeah, yeah.
But so they had two young kids that would probably get up around 7:30.
Yep.
So I'd be there at 7,
mm.
and sometimes I got to, you know, if I'm doing things in the house,
you it's just wait.
Like I got to wait, or I got to like try and tiptoe and be quiet and sort of. It's not ideal.
No, it's not ideal. Yeah. And if you have to, you have to. But, I mean, not only for us, for the client living in it, seeing it every day, the dust, they have to clean up. We have to clean up every afternoon.
Every
when
day,
they're
yeah.
It. So I mean, there's time in that.
No one talks about that.
It costs money.
Mm.
It costs money. So, yeah, for the client, it's really hard. And they think they can do it. I understand to save money, all of that. I know there's times when you need to, but the reality is it is easier on everyone.
Yeah.
And relationships are massive, huge in residential building. And to keep a relationship, you're better off not being there. We have steps and communication avenues that we take. So every week you get an update. We have clients that live overseas and interstate. It works for us because we send them updates every week.
Yeah.
A weekly digest with photos, what we've done for the week, what's coming up, the
some
weather,
videos,
everything, every week. So they're updated. They feel like they're involved.
And without
having to be there.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's much better. It's more productive, cost effective. There's so many advantages of it.
Yeah.
So we know it works.
Yeah.
We know we can do it. There's challenges, but I mean, we use Zoom a lot, all of these online cloud-based programs that help the client feel like they're being involved without having to be there, without having to put up with the crap
of
the dust and
Just to circle back to what actually goes into an estimate, because
let's go back to that.
Yeah. For you banging on about how good you are.
Yeah, yeah.
But the if you've got you've got your trades prices, you've got the prices. So your framing, roofs and stuff.
Yes.
You can figure out your own. You've spent like a week. Labor,
yes,
all that. So then, say you give that to me,
yes.
Would that be?
Are you being a client?
I guess I am for this, but yep. I've never received it.
Yes,
a quote. So, but like, would that? So, do I just get a price of money, or do I get like any idea where it's allocated?
Yeah,
sort of thing in a quote.
Yep, there's a few options. There obviously is a final price. If it's an estimate, a lot of time we just give an overall price.
Yeah,
because it is an estimate, and. It can change. A lot of time we're doing an estimate right at the start when we don't know the engineering or how it's actually going to be built. It's difficult because there is a lot that goes into, especially renovations and extensions.
Yeah, and I can speak from my own experience. Sometimes like you'll get architectural plans and those architects have never been to the site.
No.
Some of them be in Queensland and then they've given plans for a house in Stanmore and you get there and you're like, oh, this is completely...
Yeah, this might work in Queensland, but not in Stanmore.
Oh, but more so that it's like, if you had been here, you would know this whole property is completely out of square and this isn't going to work and that's gonna not going to work. So they're just going off what the council, but you know, some of these houses that are built
100 years ago. Yeah.
They weren't like looking at...
No, exactly right. And that's what makes renovating and extending so expensive is the unknown, essentially.
I mean, you pull down a wall and it's asbestos or whatever and suddenly the price goes
exactly
up, you know?
Right.
Like
you just
never know what's waiting for you.
So on that, we do allow a contingency as well. So we might have 10% contingency on a job. Sometimes you can spend up to 30% in contingency. So you need to have that. But we go through all of that in the in the steps. You can't rush to the start. You need to plan properly.
Yeah.
I always say from the first time we meet someone on site till we actually start building is generally 12 months.
Wow.
So it
it's
is a long
time,
process.
Isn't it? Yeah.
So that is a process. That is a part of the building process. Construction is one, pre-construction is another. There's another one, post-construction, maintenance and all of that, that we look into. But it's a long process.
Yeah.
You can't just say, gone are the days where, oh, let's go and build that bloody back granny flat, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
For someone to live in. It just doesn't happen anymore. There's a process to it all. And you need,
beneficial, right?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, no, you have to. It has to be. Has to be done like that. Back in the day, it wasn't, and that's why people get frustrated, and it costs money.
Yeah, yeah.
But you need to do this at the start. You need to plan properly, or it's not going to work.
Oh, totally. So I think that's pretty much covered what goes into an estimate.
Did we?
Yeah. So we got you got your planning stage. You've got the price of materials. You get your quotes from your trade. You get your architecturals, and then you provide an outline of what price you think you're still looking at with contingency of about 10%.
10% generally, yeah, depending on the job.
Yeah. And then that's what the client gets. So that the client will receive this and then they'll be like, okay, so this is kind of a fair. I should say as well, this is something very different to civil construction, I found out. Most builds work off one or two different pace scales from what I understand. So the ones I've kind of encountered are price and cost plus. Is there any others?
No, they're the two main ones.
So price for anyone. Fixed price.
Yep.
So if I want this, you say this, and this is the price is the price.
Yes.
And then fargo there being any sort of big changes, the price doesn't change.
Yes.
Would that be accurate?
Agreed.
Within reason.
Within reason.
So if I add things, if I actually want this now and that now, then the price can change.
Yeah.
But if we stick to what we
agreed on, then that's the price.
That's the price.
Yes. And you need to find a reputable builder that can stick to their fixed price. And you can ask, another part of picking your builder is to ring their references.
Yeah.
You can't skip that part because you need to make sure you've got the right builder for you. A lot of there's plenty of builders, lots of people that can build your house.
Yeah.
But there's so many more components that go into building. Communication, project management, supervision, all of these things. There's lots of people out there that can build, but can they give you a good service
on
the rest of the work?
Yeah.
So you need to find the right builder.
Consider that. It's all right. So that's the price. That's how that works. So the other one is cost plus.
Yeah.
So run us through that.
So cost plus contracts are different to fixed price, and I would say be careful of these.
I think that's all right.
So fixed price is a fixed price essentially.
Yep.
Cost plus is. How do I explain that?
So from my understanding of the cost plus would be I've got this outlined price.
Yep.
And then
pretty much an estimate.
Pretty much an estimate.
Yep.
But then I might be running into things that are kind of going to cost extra. Maybe you don't know what kitchen you want or this or you want to be able to make changes and do that. So that's all got to go on top. And so we have a base price we're looking at and then everything else is on top.
Yeah.
So base scope of works and then anything else is additional.
So cost plus does work for some builds. Generally, renovation extensions, not new builds. New builds should have a fixed price. We like to do fixed price because the owners like clarity in the price. We have a very
If I want to buy something, I don't want to be generally. I'd be like, I want to pay
exactly right. You know what you want to pay. That's normal, isn't it? And we have a variation process. So if there is a change, we have this 10-step process that the client and the project manager go through to change the scope.
Yep.
No work, if we've got a fixed price, no work gets done unless the variation is signed off.
Oh, gotcha. So that's important to know.
That's important.
Yeah.
Whereas cost plus, we will give an estimate on a job and pretty much the costs incurred. So that's labor, material, subcontractors are passed on to the homeowner with a builder's margin, which is generally about 25 to 30%.
Yeah.
Now, we try and steer clear of cost plus because people like having a fixed price, most clients. I won't say that. Most clients like getting a fixed price.
Of course.
Which is people know. What else can I say about cost plus?
Oh, I think that's pretty good. We covered it. So yeah, so if you're looking at building, it's really up to you. But if you want like a price and be like, I want to know exactly what I'm paying for, maybe fixed price would be the way to go for you.
Yeah.
Having said that, if you've got a renovation.
Renovation in an old on the side house, of a hill in quicksand. Like there are.
Could be, some builders might not even take that on
a lot
fixed
of builders
price.
Don't take the risk on harder jobs and they would rather use cost plus. There's kind of
for that reason that you could be running into problems. You don't.
Exactly right. Yeah. And a lot of the time it's builders being scared of pricing the job. That's it. That's really it. They can't give you a fixed price. Now, we do a lot of the work up front, and the reason we charge for the estimate and the quotes is because we do all of the work up front and we plan the job properly.
Yeah.
And do a what we call a value engineering. So we spend a lot of the time up front on the job site going through the plans and thinking of things that can go wrong.
Yeah.
So that we can get a fixed price for people and they know what they're paying.
Yeah.
Yes, there are times when you can't price it, as I said, on the side of a hill.
Yeah. Asbestos you're running into or things like that.
There's all these things. And sometimes, really, the easier way is to do cost plus. But if you put the work in up front, schedule the job properly of
then you should be most times able to get a fixed price.
Exactly right.
Okay.
Good timelines. You know when the job's going to start and finish. And clients want to know that. So put the time in up front.
Yep. Would be your advice. And
to get a fixed price. So I would suggest to homeowners to go down the fixed price route a lot of the time. If a builder wants to go cost plus, then a lot of the time it's because of the unknown and they haven't put the time into working out what is actually going to be in the job.
Perfect. I thought this week we would wrap up the episode with a question. So if we've got some questions that have come from clients, so I just thought it'd be cool to
that's
to
a good
ask
idea.
You
yep.
and answer. And by the way, if you have any questions or whatever, you can just pop them on through via email or just All Innovative Building or on the Instagram. Just send them through there and then we'll try and answer them in the podcast episode. So this question is one that...
Who did this one come from, Jerry?
This one came from Dan, one of our foremen, but it's a good one. And it's one that I have heard a lot that clients have asked builders.
Dan's a construction manager.
So the question is, why can't I supply my own materials?
Yes. The reason...
Why can't I just go down to Bunnings and order a bit of timber and give it to you?
So...
Can I give my answer on this? Like, so with I've seen this done a few times, always disastrously. The best example of it was I built a house at Collaroy, and the guy decided he wanted to supply the windows. So he got I guess he knew a company, mm-hmm. It was like, oh, I want to use these guys, which were just dirt cheap. So I think he just found, you know, Googled cheapest windows in Sydney.
As they do.
So then these guys all showed up. A lot of it had to be measured 3-4 times.
Yep. So it throws out the timeline.
So that throws out the time. So that it ended up costing the builder something between $15,000 and $20,000 in lost productivity.
Yep.
Because we couldn't move on from there.
And how do you charge for that? Like, you can't give it back to the client.
I think it ended up in court and stuff. Like, it was ugly. But the these guys showed up. They were using grinders just to cut bits of aluminium sort of thing and just kind of slap them together because they ordered...
Spray sparks on the glass.
All
ruin
that.
Ruin the glass.
Ruining it worse. They were using chipboard screws in the windows, and it was like beach property.
Yeah. So
the whole windows are due... They'd be rusted out in 6 months.
Yeah.
But it's like, what do? You turn around to a client and be like...
It's your fault.
It is your fault. Like, it's like you picked these guys and now this is going to be issues forever.
Yeah.
Like these are all useless.
Yeah.
All these windows are going to rust to shit.
Yeah.
They've not been made or sealed correctly. Mm. People just chopping into them using shitty screws.
Yeah.
So I guess like...
Well, the other thing is like the warranty on it.
Yeah.
Like as a builder.
They'll be into the wind. Like they'll be gone. You know, it's not their problem.
Yeah, but it's our problem.
Exactly.
But it's the builder's problem.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Because it's your warranty. So you build a house, you supply a warranty for how many years?
We have a 2-year non-structural guarantee. and a 6-year structural guarantee on all of our projects.
Which is that standard?
That's a standard with your homeowner's warranty. So
if I'm supplying materials that are shit,
yeah,
because they're cheap,
it's your ass on the line. Exactly right. And why would I do that?
Yeah.
Why would I do that? And we're talking like on a scale of windows, kitchen appliances, like all of these things, like, yeah, you pay a builder's margin on things, but you've got a bit of peace of mind that
it's done properly.
Yeah. It's they're people that fit into our schedule, our timeline. We've worked with before.
You trust them.
We trust them. If I rang one of our trades, say I need you here yesterday, they would have been there.
Yeah.
We work with these guys all the time. We pay them well.
Yeah.
And they give us a good product, which essentially gives the client a good product. So. Yep. Yeah, there's all these issues with warranty and timeline and that all costs money.
I think that's a good answer. I think it's because it's your warranty.
Exactly right.
That you're providing.
And then on the other hand, if those windows didn't turn up for 3 weeks, I've got to send my employees to another job.
Yeah, which costs money.
That's a 3-month job.
Yeah.
And I've got to stay there for 3 months and I can't get back to your job. Like there's this onflow effect of these materials not being supplied on time, warranty.
It just goes down the line, doesn't it?
It just keeps going. And unfortunately, it's just not – we just don't do that. We don't let clients supply any materials. Unfortunately, we handle everything so that you get a good product in the end.
Yeah, and you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, the client doesn't have to worry about it. Yeah. They have one person to deal with. It's the project manager or the foreman. And if there's an issue, then we've got a process to sort that out. So,
perfect.
Yeah.
Well, that'll have to do us for this week. Sadly, I could talk to you forever, Brad, but we'll have to wrap this one up.
Awesome.
If you like the show, you know, like and subscribe on iTunes, send it around. And if you have any questions, send them through, especially if you're out there and you're thinking about building, you want to know something, we'll be happy to cover it every week. Thanks so much for listening. See you next week. Bye.
That was good,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
How long was that?